Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
It's all you. This house has got your name on it.
I'm not ready yet.
What makes you think I'm ready, though?
Let me talk to you about fear. Fourth and one, Jerry Rice. What you gonna do? That don't compare to fourth and one in eternity.
Yeah, but just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I need to be out sharing my faith. I mean...
Don't you run from me! You can't escape my grasp! D. Gray will throw you in the trash!
Hey, I can't go to the outreach today. I just got some more important things I gotta do. Uh-huh. Hey man, give me a break. I went to church on Sunday. I gotta go.
Selfishness? The world needs a message. For God to love the world, He wants to communicate it through you. If you procrastinate, you will open up the gate to a beatdown. Give me that phone, boy.
What's up, baby girl? Nah, I'm busy.
The excuses linebacker. I really wish I could have an excuses linebacker to follow some of you guys around. To be honest, we would have everybody going to district youth if I had that guy. I just absolutely love it. It's pretty incredible. It just makes me excited. I don't know. Well, I have made my fair share of excuses in my life, and I'm sure you guys have too. And I was thinking, what are common things that people make excuses for? Sometimes it's like, well, I have this exam coming, and so I'm just going to be sick. Sometimes excuses are valid things, but let's be honest, a lot of times they're not, okay? It's just our way of trying to get out of something. A really common one, huge common excuse for those of you who drive, is when you get pulled over. When you get pulled over, you feel like you have to explain what happened in a manner that will not result in fines and a ticket. And so my uncle, he's a sheriff's deputy over in Port Huron, and he has all kinds of awesome stories about, like, traffic stops and crazy things that happen to him, and he just says it like it's, like, normal. I don't know. He's totally desensitized. But some of the things he experiences are hilarious. So it got me thinking, what are common excuses that police officers hear? And I'm like, no, I don't want common. I want the funny ones. What are the best excuses that police officers have heard from being pulled over? So I went where everybody goes when they want to know something: the internet. These are some of the top excuses, actual things people have said to police officers for getting pulled over. I thought the sign I-95 meant the speed limit. I'm really glad you did not catch me on SR-210. I was driving fast to blow the snow off of my windshield so I could see where I was going. I'm not making these up. These are honestly things that people have said. So don't try them, all right? I like this one. This teen got pulled over for doing over 100 and a 70 on the expressway. And the officer said, I clocked you in at 100. And he said, well, that's not possible. I was speeding, but I wasn't doing 100. And he's like, yeah, you were. And he's like, no, it's not possible. No, I wasn't. And the officer's like, well, how do you know? He goes, well, because the speedometer in my vehicle only goes to 85, and I had the gas pedal all the way on the floor, so there was no way that I could have been going past 85. Andy, Maddie, this one's for you. McDonald's breakfast was ending, and I was trying to make it on time. It's all day now, that's right. I was going 54, the speed limit's 45. Officer, I'm dyslexic, I'm sorry. That is a pretty good one. This one's honestly my favorite. Guy got pulled over for doing over 100 in a Corvette in a 55 mile per hour zone at night with no traffic on the road. So he's totally by himself. And the officer told him, you were flying, so unless you have a pilot's license, you are going to jail. And the guy literally handed him his pilot's license and said, yes, I do. And the officer let him go. That's the best part. I'm like, what? Oh, my goodness. Oh, David Sawyer, when you get your pilot's license, don't you dare try that. Oh, I thought that one was incredible. Well, we all have used excuses in our lives for different things. Some of them are valid. Some of them are like, no, this situation happened, and here's why I didn't come through, or it appears this way. Most of them really aren't valid, though, which means we're lying. Think about it. I couldn't get my homework done, not because your dog ate it. Nobody uses that. I couldn't get my homework done because my parents were fighting last night, and they might be going through a divorce. How many of you guys have pulled that one? Think about it. We make up things that we think it'll pull on our heartstrings. Like, oh, this is tragic. They won't question me on it. Because we want to get out of something, whether it's schools or chores or even some of you, a district youth. You're like, oh, I have just really stuff going on. Then you walk away from me like, I don't know where you live because I have your address. I will hunt you down. So I wonder, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, for those of us who are followers of him, I wonder what kind of excuses we give God. Like, I'm too busy, or I don't have enough time, or I don't have money for that, or I'm fearful. I don't know if you've realized, but God is a God of provision. So there's nothing that we can make up for an excuse that he can't provide for, that he can't fulfill, that he can't satisfy. And so I wonder how often in our spiritual walks do we just make excuses? And I wonder how God reacts to that. If he's just like, man, they're blowing smoke at me. It comes down to, if we're going to follow Jesus, there comes a time where we just got to drop excuses and we have to start counting the cost. Will you count the cost of following Jesus? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to get into your word tonight. God, I ask that those of us who are followers of you in this room will really learn what it means to pursue you at a deeper level. God, not let anything come in the way of that. And for those that are here tonight that don't know you in the form of a relationship, God, I just pray that they'll learn what it means to look like an authentic Christian. So if they ever make that decision in their life, God, they'll already know what to do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, I need you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Now, in Luke 9, we see this passage where a few people had given some excuses to Jesus. And what I love about Scripture is it tells us in Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun. So, like, some of these excuses you're thinking you can come up with, somebody's probably already came up with them, okay? And they're probably a lot better than the ones that you came up with in the first place. But I love in Luke 9, there's a section in there called The Cost of Following Jesus. It's verses 57 through 62. They're coming up on the screens now. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, referring to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Translation, I'm homeless. You still want to come? He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And I always thought Jesus was kind of being harsh here in his reply, because he says to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but if you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What he's saying there isn't like, hey, my dad has already died, I need to take care of funeral arrangements. He's saying, hey, someday when my father dies and I get his inheritance and that whole end of things is cleared up, I'd like to follow you. There's a huge difference. Very, very big difference there. So Jesus wasn't being harsh. He was just calling a spade, and I love that about him. Verse 61, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So we see people making some excuses, and these are pretty good excuses, right? Pretty good ones. I would really like to have some money in my pocket. I don't want to be homeless. I'd at least like to say goodbye to my family. But these were all excuses. People were kind of playing that I know the right spiritual answer card with Jesus, and he was just calling it out. They're like, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. It's like when you guys come, and I'm like, how's things going? Oh, man, they're great. I've been reading my Bible like 6 hours a day. I've been praying for like 30 hours a day. It's just great. And I'm like, come on, you woke up late, and you didn't shower today. You need to spend time with Jesus. You know, Jesus just calls it out. It's great. I wonder, though, when we read this, like, even for me, when I read it, it's like, man, these guys, like, if I was there, I'm like, Lord, I'll follow you. And he'd be like, all right, come on. That's how I feel. How many of you guys have felt like that? You're kind of hard on these guys. You're like, man, really? You want to say goodbye first? You're with Jesus, for crying out loud. The dude does miracles. What more do you need? I know I am. I guess I'm alone in that. What it comes down to with these people is some of the same excuses we use. They don't want to leave the comfortable, the familiar, pushing through fear. We use those same excuses. What if I told you this wasn't random strangers? Because I think it's easy to judge when it's somebody we don't know. We say, oh man, they should have just followed Jesus. What did they have to lose? Thing is, though, let's just apply this to your life. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. And there's something you need to understand about Scripture is they have what's called the Synoptic Gospels. It's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Matthew is written to the Jewish people. And so there's verbiage in there, like they say kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God because God's name is so holy to Jewish people that they won't say it. And they write a little bit different, like they put in lineage in there of how Jesus came to be through Hebraic lineage. And so it's super important to the Jews, but might not mean as much to somebody who's not Jewish. Mark was written to the Romans. And so you find different things in his book and what he gave on the accounts of Jesus' life. And Luke was written to the Gentiles, which are non-Jewish people. And so when you take the synoptics, it means basically three in one. They all tell a different angle to accounts of Jesus' life. And so what you had read in Luke was to the Gentiles. They didn't put in there who the people were, but Matthew does because it's important. Verses 18 through 22, he says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, you catching that? A teacher of the law. He says, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Verse 21, another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. This changes it a little bit because now they're not random people. You know a little bit about them. The first man who is listed as a teacher of the law, the original word is a scribe. It means somebody who literally copied and studied Scripture for a living. They were ones who would go before the religious authorities at the time and interpret for them if there was a matter that they would have to judge on and try to figure out, well, what's God's reasoning in this? They knew the law inside and out, a religious leader. Man, too, translates into one of the disciples. It doesn't say one of the 12. It just means one who had learned from Jesus, one who walked with Jesus, who had studied underneath of him. And so what's fascinating to me is these aren't people who have never met Jesus before or are completely unfamiliar with God's teachings or law. These are churched people. These are people who understood who Jesus is because they spent time with him, because they knew what his word said. This would be like a pastor or a mentor in your life, maybe a parent, or the disciples being like friends or siblings or people that you look up to. This changes it now because will you count the cost is easy to ask when it's complete strangers, when it doesn't affect us, but when it turns into somebody who could influence us, when your friend turns away from what God is calling to do, do you still stand for him? When that mentor in your life or that parent is making decisions that maybe they shouldn't, or a pastor goes off based on theology, is your faith to stand alone? Or is it reliant on somebody else's? So when you put yourself in this situation, if you were here and all of a sudden your pastor was like, hey, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I've got to take care of this first. And he's like, no way. And then all of a sudden your mentor, your friend that you've done life with, it's like, hey, I want to follow too, but I got to take care of this. And Jesus calls it out. What do you say? Do you count the cost? Do you say, I will follow you and mean it and actually follow through? Or does your faith stand because of other people's faith? Is this your relationship? Will you count the cost? See, when you rely on others' relationship with Jesus to sustain your own, it will fail you
every single time. And I see this time and time again. Many of you were raised in Christian homes with good Christian parents and a great upbringing, and you are good, good people. But what happens when your parents' faith isn't there anymore? When your siblings move away, is your faith your own? What happens when Jesus calls out the cost of following him in your life? Will you follow? Seeing what I see is a lot of times people have been taught routines. We've been taught the right things to say, the right things to do, the right motions to go through, but we lack that depth of relationship. And Claire said this really good in prayer today. She said that prayer isn't talking to God, it's defined as talking with God. How often do we talk with God? Because that's a relationship. I think more often we tend to talk to God. Relationship's two-sided. It's just dangerous to be there. The more I'm thinking about it is our faith has to be able to stand alone. It has to be able to stand alone. If it doesn't, we end up falling hard. Let's hit the lights and hit that next video.
Ooh. You a Christian?
I was.
You were. What happened?
I lost my faith, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because here, you know, like the church is really corrupted, and we have priests that are...
I got it. So let me ask you this. Like, you lost your faith because of the church.
Yes.
Because of priests. But let me ask you this. If Jesus walked on this earth, would you lose your faith if you walked with him?
No.
No way. So what happened? You allowed man to change your view of who God is instead of letting Jesus be your view of who God is. I promise.
Man, that hits home. That seriously hits home. Because that's what happens when faith isn't our own. Is people are imperfect and they're going to let you down. But if your relationship in Jesus is in Jesus, not in somebody else's faith, it will sustain. But it's not going to get you through anything if it's not yours in the first place. So tonight, the will you question with us being in this series is, will you count the cost of following Jesus? If Jesus was here today, would you follow him? And if so, what would it cost you? There's always a cost.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.